Father, we fall before you this morning, Lord, and thank you for this month, the Stewardship Month, and this has been the last Sunday. And we thank you for the fact that we've looked at the topics we looked at, and especially today. We've been saved, know what it is to be saved, no doubt understands this gift that God's given us. It's so great. If you really truly know Jesus, you want someone else to know. And we're going to talk about that today as we try our best to get in line, to be used of you as ambassadors in this life until we get home. And we ask you to honor yourself today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you will, take your Bible and turn with me first to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. And for those who may not know, we've been in Stewardship Month now for the whole month of February. And the first Sunday, our theme this month has been faithfulness. And the first Sunday was faithfulness to God in His house. And I'll tell you this, a person is saved, they want to be faithful to God in His house. In fact, it's the only thing that I know of that you can do, the world can see, that you really love the Lord.
Amen.
Is to be faithful to God's house. And then the second thing we looked at was that we are to be faithful to God's Word. We'll never learn one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ except through this precious book that God has preserved for our day. Sometimes I have people don't understand, but I say, if anybody comes to you and says, or to me, and says that they've received something from God that can't be back for this word, to leave it alone.
Amen.
God's not given any new information today to be written. He's given us revelation to understand that which has already been written.
Amen.
And He's given you the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, as a down payment of your salvation, to help you understand what the Holy Spirit helped us when it came down to inspire the Word of God, that we might know, thus saith the Lord. And then last Sunday, we talked about one of the blessed days in faithfulness, giving God His tithe.
Amen.
Now, I tell you, you're happy this morning if you're doing that. If not, some people say when I've settled on a message like that, I get feeling bad. You don't feel bad if you're doing what God says to do. Amen.
Amen.
And then, of course, today we're talking about faithfulness in witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about we need to understand the Scriptures about these things. My title this morning is a little different. During the Sunday school hour, we talked about witnessing in all the classes that had the curriculum as far as what was for this month that we wrote. I'm going to approach a little bit different. In my case today, I want to look at this subject, and I thought about it. What happens to one when he's born again? What happens to an individual that's born again? Because I really believe that no one will ever see how to witness for Christ unless they understand what's happened to them. And the reason for that is you begin to try to witness for Christ in this world today. If you don't have some standard pretty solid, they will do their best to get you off track, and you begin to feel more miserable because you couldn't really understand what happened to you enough to tell them how they could be saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad you don't have to understand anything but that Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But you give only that to them, and most people in this world who, first of all, don't believe that necessarily because there's so many other religious groups around the world. And then again, when you try to explain it, it's not long. You run out of words just saying, you know, just believe in Christ. What does that mean? You know, there's more to believing in Christ than just believing in Christ. There's a life to live. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. What happens when one is born again? Because when Christ comes into your heart and you're saved, God requires some things of us. And if we don't understand what they are, we will never try to witness for Him or be ambassador. Maybe that's the reason why many don't witness, or they say, I'd like to, but I don't know how. Well, if you've been born again, God has not left us ignorant about what has happened. And when He tells us what has happened to us, then in turn we can find ourselves witnessing. I read where a young boy went to Sunday school one of the first times that they've been trying to get him to go one Sunday. And in the Sunday school class, the Sunday school teachers asked the question. He said, I want to ask the class this morning, we're talking about subjects in the Bible, what is a lie? And nobody answered the question. Nobody raised their hand. Nobody seemed to know. And then suddenly she said again, well, don't anybody here know what a lie is? And this fellow raised his hand and said, well, miss, he said, I think I can tell you what a lie is. He said, I may not understand what you say about the Bible, about it, but I can tell you what. And she said, well, okay, since no one answered that, why don't you go ahead and tell us what a lie is? He said, well, ma'am, he said, a lie is abomination unto the Lord. And she said, man, Dad, he said, but I'm not through. And she said, well, you're not through, there's more, that's good right there. He said, oh, yes, a lie is abomination to the Lord, but it's also, he said, a very present help when you're in trouble. So that's where the world's at. They're halfway in, halfway out, you see. Well, we want to be all the way in, so when God can be honored and be blessed. So in John chapter 3, we'll read and quickly go over some verses. And this is what has been the conversation when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus at this time. In verse 3, he said and answered unto them, that is Jesus did, "Very, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And if you don't see anything about this, it's talking about spiritual sight. God's not going to let us see it with eyes of flesh until we get the glorified eyes to see it, and then we'll see the reality. He's talking about seeing it through the eyes of faith now from this world into that world, which is the spiritual world. Nicodemus, though, thought about a physical sight. He said in verse 4, and said unto them, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered again, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then he said in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh," and we understand that we're here in this flesh. Isn't it amazing, though, he said, "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So you think a person would understand, well, if he said that which is born of the flesh, I understand I'm born in the flesh, and then that which is born in the Spirit is spirit. There must be another avenue of this saying, other than where we're at. Some people say, "Well, I'm born in the flesh, but I don't see anything about this thing about being born again." Well, he gave his example. To be born in the flesh is a good example to see. We had a birth here, and how that relationship with him is a birth too. And then he said this in verse 7, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know something about what Jesus is teaching here. Christianity is not a game. It's not a game. Christianity, it's simply a life to live. It's not in just getting saved to go to heaven. Christianity is a life to live now, here in this life, before we get to heaven. Now, if God has saved us, and you heard me say many times for those who have been here before, if God has saved us to get us to heaven, we're going to heaven and got it over with. But if you've been saved, I've been saved 56 years, soon be 57 years this year. Now, isn't it an amazing thing that, in fact, Lord, this is the 56 years. Amazing thing that if God's going to save me and take me to heaven, he could take me to heaven a long time ago. So he must have a reason for us to live here until our lifetime run out or time runs out in life. If you go to Ephesians 1, I won't. If you go there, though, and read it later, chapter 1, verse 3 through 18, you'll find that he gives us some good information about what happens when one is born again. He talks about a lot of things that's taken place there, and you go and read it, and you'll find that he talks about, well, let me just give you a couple things over this real fast, like, if you look in Ephesians chapter, if you look in chapter 1, and you begin to read, he talks about how we've been chosen in the Lord. He says some things about what has happened there, and how that God already had a package deal for us in that family. We get born into that arena where God has already had these other things. And he talks about whom also we have obtained an inheritance in verse 11, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things in the counsel of his own will. Talked about in verse 13, whoso trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you would believe, you would seal with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of promise. He goes on and he talks about in verse 14, that spirit is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purpose possession unto the praise of his glory. And he talks about how that in verse 19, what is exceeding greatness of this power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. He lets us know a lot of things, what has taken place in our life that since we've been born again. If you go to Luke chapter 15, you find that there it gives two parables about the lost sheep. And United, he had 99, one was lost, you go find it, about the pearl that was actually there that was lost. And the ladies began to look for it and swept out the house and so forth. There was great emphasis put on that which is lost. To give another example where a person has been in this world lost, born lost, Jesus is constantly seeking him. And when one is saved, there is a great rejoicing over that person being saved. Keith mentioned that this morning in the Sunday school hour. And then you find again, see, here's the thing about it. If you understand what salvation is, if I understand what salvation is and realize what God has done for us to get us to where he's at to live forever, someone else gets saved, you're going to rejoice over it. You're going to rejoice over it because you're going to realize, hey, I couldn't do anything for myself. They can't do anything for themselves. God has to do it for us before we can do anything at all in the Christian life. And that's what happens in Jesus Christ. And so now I know that God presents himself. I need to know how he presents himself, I should say. And so in Exodus chapter 3, you go back in verse 10, verse 13, you find God approaching Moses. He says, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt now and see Pharaoh and set my people free. Moses said, but now, God, how can I go? When I go, who am I going to tell sent me? And you see in verse 14, Jesus said, you tell them, I am that I am. Means eternity. I am that I am. I am is always in the present tense. I am have sent you. In other words, there is no such a thing with time. It's continued present tense. No past, no future. The only thing is that God put us in time, which has a past and has a future. But with God, there is no such thing as time. It's hard for us to understand how you can be in the present for eternity. Because if you're in the present for eternity, you've got to be perfect. And there's no need for the past. No need for the present. You just live forever. Mm-hmm. You say, preacher, you lost me right there. I know I'm half lost myself about that, but I believe it. Because I can't understand God, and you can't either completely. When we get to heaven on the other side of glorified body, we'll begin to understand him better, but we can't understand him as he is today. Folks, he's a lot more than flesh. Amen. But thank God he became flesh. Mm-hmm. Why? If you're hurting today, Christ has hurt for you. Wherever you at, and if you're lost, Christ died for you today. So here he says, I am present. I've always existed throughout eternity. Now, I want you to note in Revelation, how the scriptures, the Holy Spirit gave this to people, different ones in Revelation. In chapter 1, note the terms that the Godhead used as he revealed God to people. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John to the seven churches, which are in Asia, grace be unto you, peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. He's talking about the present, the past, and the future. You go as far back, you heard me say many times, far back to the past as you can go throughout eternity, and you'll never find an end. And God was always there. You know he's in the present because you're in the present. And when you think of the future and go as far as you want to go throughout eternity, it will no end. He'll always be there. You describe God, he says only this. He said, I am, I was, and I shall be. When you move over and you look in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, you find the four beasts said, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. If you look in chapter 11, verse 17, the 24 elders cried out, thou art in the present, there was in the past, and he talks about there is to come. When you look at chapter 16 in verse 5, you find that the angels of the water said that thou art and thou was and thou shalt be. Hebrews chapter 13, 8 explains what they said there at that time. When the Bible says to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe you can't understand there was and there art and there shall be, but there is to come. But you can understand that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, but wait a minute, I thought he was born 2,000 years ago. That's right, he was born in the flesh, but he's always existed. You say, preacher, wait a minute now. That's right. He's always existed. Why? He's God also. The three function as one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I have one point on this, but it's got three parts. And each part is equal. But I want you to listen to me. I'm talking about what happens when one is born again. You have to understand that standard. And I'll be honest with you, probably none of us understand it as good as we need to. But there's a lot of information. When God Almighty came and Christ died, he wrote a lot in the New Testament about the standard, about what is to be done while we're here, and how he would help us by the Holy Spirit. We must understand what God says about salvation to be able, ladies and gentlemen, to present it to others. That's all there is to it. We have to understand a little bit about it. This starts, hear me, you'll never understand salvation until you get saved. You may hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit draw us, and he did, to the Lamb of God. If he hadn't have drawn us, we'd probably passed him off just like we did but many times when we heard the story before. But once he drawed us and we saw ourselves as he revealed to who we were and how much we needed Christ, we cried out to him, have mercy on me, and in turn, he saved our soul. I know that, but this thing, what we're talking about, understanding what God did, starts when you get saved. Because I didn't know anywhere I could have understand all that God did for me before I got saved. But I believe Jesus could do it for me, right? To as many as receive him, to them gave he the power. You have to receive him before you get the power to understand who he is. Amen? Shake your finger or something at me. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. This will revolution your life about serving God if you'll understand what has happened. Well, I know I'm saved and headed to heaven. Well, I'm glad I know a lot. If that be all there was to it, just get saved, not worried, ride the plank of grace and get there. But when you get there on the other side, you're going to find there's a lot of things God said there's in our life we should be doing for rewards and other things. Not just to be saved or to get saved, but because we are saved. And it's so important. Now, here, salvation is not, hear me closely. Salvation is not a goal to achieve. Salvation is a gift to receive. Amen. And God's Son paid the price for us. Now, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all sin comes short of the glory of God. You see, in 1 John chapter 2, turn there with me, please, quickly, over 1 John chapter 2, and look at me in verse 25. And John said, and this is the promise that he had promised us. What is that? Even eternal life. That's ever, you can't look at it any other way, that's everlasting life. From everlasting life in the future, and we had a time to start, but God has always had eternal life. And all God has done is give us his life in the spirit to live from the day we were born until the day, or from the day we were really conceived, because we started then, to the day throughout eternity in the future. God who goes, we go back to that time, we had a time to start. But in Christ, we can live forever for him. Without Christ, we're going to live forever, but the two destinies. And so before that, God still exists. And notice he said, he made the statement, even eternal life. Now, what is that? He goes also in chapter 5, verse 13, and he said, these things have I written unto you that you believe on the Son of God, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Isn't it amazing? He said he's given us eternal life, that life is in his Son, and these things he's written that we might believe on the name of the Son of God, that we might be saved. How is that? There's a record been given. That record's God's Son in verse, about God's Son in verse 11. And this life is in his Son. And he tells us, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life in verse 12. Now, I'm laying a format, the fact to understand what God did for me the day I got saved, September 27, 1959. And it helps me now to understand why God calls for me as a child of God to be what he says to in Corinthians and other places about to be a witness for him in this life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In John 1, 12, to as many receive him, to them gave he power to come, sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. These verses mean something to me other than head knowledge once I began to understand them in this life. So when I see this salvation, this salvation that I got is in three tenses for the child of God. What is the tense? Well, the first one has to be the past tense. Past is about sin for us, that what God has done. The present is how we walk with him now that we're saved. And the future, of course, is lies ahead of us in eternity when we get to the other side with a glorified body, when we are saved. Now, look at the past a few minutes. We think about the past. The past is where I was. The past was where I had been. I must get by the past before I can enjoy the present of the future. Because I can't enjoy the present in God in the future unless my sin's been dealt with. And God dealt with the sin for the world. But for me, it happened September 27, 1959. When I say that, I mean it happened for the world. But for it benefited me, September 27, 1959. What date you have? That it benefited you, you see. That's when you believed and received and reached out for that salvation. And if you got a Bible, all you got to do is read it. Because you find these things that God has left us printed. Have the ability to study and read by the Spirit of God what happens to us after we just by faith receive. I'm glad you don't have none of it. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life to get saved. But after that, what a joy it is to know who I'm serving and what's happened in this life. And it will help you too. So I look then at the past. My past said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus said in John 8, 24, you shall die in your sin. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, turn there with me, and he tells us exactly where we were at the time. In chapter 2, he says, and you had the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's where we were in the past. Verse 2, he said, where in the time past you walked according to the course of this world. Not only that, in times past, she walked according to the prince and the power of the air. You go back again in times past, you walk according to the spirit that had now worked in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were nature of children of wrath, even as others. And you find yourself looking at the past, and you And God said he requires the past, if you look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15. You and I cannot pay for the past. And so God is setting forth the truth where we were at and what happened in the past. And he tells us even more, if you look in verse 11, he said, "Wherefore remember that being times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, that which is called the circumcision causes the uncircumcision in the flesh, made with hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise." I mean, in the past, in verse 19, he said, "Now that you're saved, you're no more strangers and foreigners." In the past, we're strangers and foreigners. And ladies and gentlemen, with that separation of God, we need something other than what most people think. "Well, I'm just going to God anytime I want to." Isn't it an amazing thing? Jesus draws us. If we could come anytime we want to, it'd be no need for Jesus to have to draw us by the Holy Spirit of God. Something has opened our eyes to understand the revelation of the truth that's there. And so I see, as I look where I was in the past, I like verse 4 with that first little three-letter word, "but God." Aren't you glad of that? God stepped in and did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. I'm talking about what happens when we got born again. I see here that God stepped in. Where I was, there is penalty of sin. Death spiritually before God, or dead spiritually before God, due to the fallen Adam, sin in Adam. Ephesians 1, 3 through 21 tells us what happens back there in the past when we received Christ as Savior, up to the present of that time. Read it sometime. I have time this morning. But I'll tell you some things out of that, though. He tells us that who are blessed in him in this life. In verse 4, in verse 3, he tells us that. In verse 4, he tells about being chosen in him because the foundation of the world, or before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5 teaches having predestinated, that is God's foreknowledge, leads to predestination. What God is telling us that down through the ages, he's already set how a person to be saved. God has already determined how it's going to be, and the only way it can happen, there's a door into that arena, and that's Jesus Christ. If you don't come in through the door, you're not born again. I mean, it's so simple, and yet the world flags it as if being just a heretic, kindly, to preach such an emphasis about Jesus Christ. In verse 6, he had made us acceptable in the beloved. Who is the beloved? The Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, he's abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. In verse 9, he's have made known to us the mystery of his will. Isn't that an amazing thing that Jesus Christ and God together has made known to us the mystery of his will? What is the mystery of his will? That he was going to save Jew and Gentile alike in the age of grace. The door of grace opened up. He has purposed himself in his good pleasure. In verse 11, in whom we have attained an inheritance. We're talking about in Ephesians now. And also in verse 11, he said we've been predestinated according to the counsel of his own will. What is the counsel of his own will? You must be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. You can't benefit from these things unless you're born again. And God don't say you get born again like you want to. You don't get born physical like you want to. You get born physical like God set it up to be. Right? And that's how he sees in John 3, he tells us about the physical birth, so we understand a little bit about the spiritual birth. Because physical you can see, and the spiritual birth you can't see in the sense of the spiritual eyes, you don't, except through faith through the spiritual eyes, and then you can understand what God said about physical birth, and the same ingredients except it comes from God. The word is the seed and all those things. Don't have time to go into that. We've done that before. To just really understand what's going on at this time. He says also in verse 13, he said, in whom ye also trusted, in whom also after ye believe. Verse 13 again, he said, when you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amazing thing about that. What is he saying? He said, when you trusted Christ as your Savior and you won't play in the game, you were involved because you believe it's the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing can change that for you. He's telling us there that I gave you my Holy Spirit, the voice of God. Equal with God, to come in and live in your heart, that help you understand the documentation that he inspired and I preserved for you to your day to know more about me. And so here again, in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, he tells us he was justified, declared right. In verse 26, he said, those that believe in Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19-20, we are bought with a price. That is past tense. He says that we are owned, that he owns us now. He's bought us with a price. We're his property as a child of God. You know, all of these things became ours when we received Christ as our Savior. Isn't it amazing what God has? He's done more than just, hey, isn't it wonderful? He's going to take us to heaven one day. That's a wonderful thing. It's better than hell. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, He did things for us beyond that to make us candidates for heaven. That's the reason when we get to heaven in a glorified body, we wouldn't have to worry about changing back to this life. Because He did all these things for us, you see. And so I see that. These things became ours when we received Christ as our Savior. Then amazes me, in Colossians 2:10, he says, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principalities and powers. And yet we look in Luke, and we just talked about how that there was a lost sheep and a lost coin. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, in Adam, we were all made through procreation, or created in God's image through procreation. You and I were born through procreation from Adam. The process still will work until the end of time. But ladies and gentlemen, we lost our relationship with God in our great-grandfather many times past, Adam. And we are born in this world with sin. And when God made us, created us through procreation, we fell in Adam because of Adam's sin. We got his nature. Jesus brought us back.
Amen.
When you trusted Christ as Savior, Jesus brought us back. And then I ask, how can God lose someone that he owns because he purchased us this time? He bought us. That's the reason it's not a game. It's a way of life. And that'll tell the difference. Am I playing this game because of something else in this world? Or, Lord, have you really shown me that I'm truly your child? And how do you do that? From this book. I love it. That's the past, ladies and gentlemen. What about the present, real fast, like? In the present. We are washed in 1 Corinthians 6:11. We are washed. We are justified. We're sanctified in the name of Jesus Christ. When I see that, turn with me there. I want you to look with your eyes in chapter 6. He takes that in verse 11. And then in verse 12, he says this. Watch. Once he tells us we've been washed, we've been justified, we've been sanctified, set apart in Christ. Watch. Verse 12. Now, Paul says of this carnal church, all things are lawful unto me. Wait a minute. All things? That covers everything, Paul. You look at the word all and see what it means. He didn't say part. That he said part of the all. No, he said all things. Now, if it's all lawful, why in the world? What about those who goes against what God said? Well, what's what Paul said? All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient, not necessary. Then watch what he said. But I will not, watch this, all things, let me go back again. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient, not necessary. All things are lawful for me. Watch. What do you mean, preacher? He said everything in this life that God says is lawful for me. I can do it. But wait a minute. There's one living inside shows the difference to help us understand what salvation is about. He says, watch. But I will not be brought under the power of any. Well, the Holy Spirit will help you do that. In other words, the lifestyle's there. Sooner will not be brought to power completely, where you may blow it sometime. But I'm going to tell you something. If you truly know Christ as Savior, you're going to find, he said, God said, you've got the power. You don't have. See, I told you, we have spiritual circumcision. That's what it calls in the body of Christ. When it's been cut away from the filth of the flesh. That is, God has cut away the flesh with the soul, that where we have the Spirit of God. We are in this body until God puts it back. That's where you can go back to the dust, and you and I are going to heaven as far as soul and spirit is concerned when we die. But right now, it's still here. And everything you've had in the past, Satan go back. It's like a reservoir. He can pull it back up again if you let him. But Paul said, I'm not going to let him. I'm not going to be brought under that. Why? Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. Well, you may see someone swell, and Satan tricks me and tries to get me there. But I want to tell you this. My lifestyle is not going to be like Satan wants it to be. God will help me curb that thing. And those who serve him will be rewarded one day along that line. He said, in the present, we sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:4. We have the peace with God, Romans 5:1, through Jesus Christ. We have the peace of God, Philippians 4:7, by obeying God's word. That's how we know we have the peace of God. We present our bodies to God's living sacrifice, Romans 12, verse 1. He said, that's your reasonable service to do. I'm talking about knowing what God has done for us who have been born again. He tells us also that we are to renew our mind in verse 2 of chapter Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world. Be not fashioned like this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't renew your mind without this book. You try to renew your mind about God, and you find you come up short. Where are you going to get your information from? The only place that's trustworthy is this book. It's the Holy Bible. It's the Word of God. And so I look and I see. He tells me to study. Then once I renew my mind to study, he tells in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, study the Word of God, showing yourself approved unto God. And this will help us in the line in our life with God and His instructions. So I see that He's taking, helped me take care of the past. He requires that. It's under the blood. I see that He's helping me in the present now, telling me what He's done. He gave me His Holy Spirit to stay on payment. He's preserved His Word. I hide this Word in my heart. If I do that, I know more about Him. And as I know more about Him, I'm going to see what He's done for me, and that's going to burden me to say, listen, if you're not saved, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you how much He loved you. Let me show you from the Scriptures. Let me read to you. I'm not going to give you my, I'll give you my testimony, but I'm not going to try to win you because of just words. I want you to read from the Scriptures. God has promised to honor the Scriptures. He said, my word will not turn into me void. But then there's the future. John 14, 1, 3. Isn't it wonderful? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why? I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you into myself. You see, that's the future. Then I see what he's talking about. I see in Revelation, and I like this, in Revelation chapter 21 or 22. In chapter 21, he tells about that new Jerusalem coming down, where it's going to be our home on the other side when we get there, glorified body. In verse 1, he said, and he showed me a pure river water of clear as crystal proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street, he said, on either side of the river there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were kind of the healing for the nation. He said, and there shall be no more curse. Well, won't that be a blessing? But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And watch this, verse 4, and they shall see his face. I love that, don't you? But Sam, what a joy one day we're going to see God's Father's face. The only thing we've seen is through faith now. One day soon we didn't have a chance to see Jesus ourselves, his face, but there's some who did. But we're going to see his face. And I don't understand how the Holy Spirit's going to do it, but he's going to be there too. He won't have to live with us there. He'll be outside. We'll be able to see him through a glorified body with glorified eyes, and we'll see his face. All three. And then he says, and his name shall be in their forehead. Well, I love that. You know what that means? Of course, this is speculating a bit now. But it doesn't mean we get there, we might forget it. No, as if he's going to seal to make sure we don't forget it. It's just showing us it's eternal. You're mine. You know, years ago, man had to brand a cow, didn't he? And if he had the brand on, nobody else could own him. Unless you change the brand. Well, that God, you say, well, I don't know if I'm going to go there. He's going to brand my body. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God is letting us know. Not only is he going to give us a good name, but he tells us here that his name shall be in our forehead. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle there, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever, in the terminology, ever and 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 go on forever. With no end to it. Thank God for it. I say, again, have home in heaven. We looked at again about the lost sheep and the lost price of silver. What happens when you find something that you have lost? Keep hit that this morning about rejoicing. What happens? If you lost something and you find it, what do? You stop looking for it, right? Suppose you had your phone bill out or your billfold out and you lost it. You said, I've looked, there's billfold. You'd probably look for that more than you would the phone bill. Billfold. You say, I've lost that thing day before yesterday and I couldn't find it. I looked everywhere. And I said, and he said, I finally found it. I said, well, where did you find it at? And probably you say something like, the very last place I looked for it. Really? But that's true. That's true. You see, why would it be there? Because that's where you lost it at. Aren't you glad that God knows where everyone's born in Adam that? Any age, any time, any place. Now, you tell me, I don't know why he used us to be the vessel to tell him about Jesus, but he does. Isn't that right? That important? It blows my mind that even we who are saved are fickle about things. And yet God preordained to use us. He says as ambassadors that we would be witness. God has given us the witness of himself for reconciliation. That is bringing people to, that he might bring people to himself through the new birth. I want you to note, he says there was great joy and rejoicing in the presence of the angels. I believe that's saints. They didn't say the angels were rejoicing. See, they know, if anything, somehow or another, maybe there's a herald through the heavens about someone getting saved. They know getting saved, the best thing that happens to anybody in this life. He didn't save us for our money. He didn't save us for our house. He didn't save us for our cars. He didn't save us for the wealth of this world. He saved our souls. Man alive. And you and I couldn't buy it. It does something to you. I say this morning, what happens when you're born again? What are you still looking for? Are you still looking for the peace with God? Because the Bible says in Christ you already have that peace with him. Romans 5:1 said, justified by faith we have peace with God. Colossians 2:9-10, he said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him and head of principalities, and he's the head of all principalities and powers. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the life of God is a birth. It's not just a growth of some kind. It's not just a new leaf. It's not just joining something. It's a birth. To be a true Jew, you must be born from Abraham's seed. Now, it is true that Gentiles can be converted into Jewish religion by obeying the Levitical system, but they can never be a physical descendant of Abraham unless they are truly a Jew. But isn't it an amazing thing? When it came to Christ, listen to me, when it came to Christ, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, ye must be born again. And that included Jew and Gentile. So here, being born of Adam only leads us a downward road to hell because of his sin. And we inherited that through the nature. But now he has made a way that we could be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. John 3:7. This is not just trying Christianity to see if it works, if it don't work. Well, you know what? I've tried. I've tried everything else. You might as well hang it up. You're wasting your time. I'd be wasting my time to do that. Amen? You don't try it like a coat. Put it on, take it off. It's a birth. You cannot try physical birth that way, and neither can you try spiritual birth that way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, it says, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. How is that? Winning souls. Proverbs 11:30. You already heard that in Sunday school. He that winneth souls is wise. So I say to you today, if I'm going to really understand how the minister of reconciliation has been given to us to wit that God was in Christ reconciling this world to himself, and the church, which is the body of Christ, had been given that ministry of reconciliation, then for me to fulfill that like I should, I must a little bit understand not only that I did get saved, but what happened when I did get saved. And you know what? That'll give you assurance. You see what happened when you got saved and what God is doing now because he loves us and desires us to fulfill up the potential he gives us in our abilities so that he can use us for his glory and then enjoy rewards, though we don't deserve the reward, but yet if we do what he says do, he promises rewards on the other side. And 1 Corinthians 3 tells us about that. So to understand what salvation is to understand why Christ gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 20. He wants this world to know, hear me, he wants this world to know just how much he loves them. Now we can say that, but did you know, ladies and gentlemen, could I say this? Would you give me 2 minutes? We can say that, and a person says, well, I believe that, until they get in a trial. And they begin to hurt, and they wonder, okay, God don't love me. Why would I have to go through this? And so what does he do? He gives us, Romans 8:28, to let the world see when we go through a trial, God comforts us. He gives us strength. He can deliver us from it. He can deliver us through it. Whatever it is, He can keep it from happening. But when we go through a trial, God sets us see, let people see that even there, God's children know how to exist. And when they come out of that trial, they're a better witness than ever before. Because they see something that you don't see in the world. And that's what it means to learn about why don't we forsake God if we're truly saved when we go through something we didn't think we want to go through? Because even there, we know this world is full of sin and problems, and He will help us through it. Just wait on Him. Just be sure you know what it does? It makes you check up, don't it? Makes you go, Lord, hey, lead me to the Scripture. Lord, let me lead me. If it's sin, I want to. It makes you want to check up so you come through that, and God gets the glory. You may have the pain, but God gets the glory. And you think He's not on the other side of that going to give us good marks? You think He's not going to say it to us like He did to Satan about Job? Have you considered Job? Don't throw his book at him. It don't matter. Go ahead, Satan. You see, did you know, folks? You and I are just as strong in the Lord with the Holy Spirit as Job was, if we know what's going on. And so I like that. So He wants this world to know this, how much He loves them. And if we're saved, we are predetermined whether we do that or not. God has already given us that arena that we are to be ambassadors of Christ. In other words, He has commanded us that we be ambassadors of Christ while we're here. To be an ambassador, you have to learn that. Just like God has set forth the world, He loves the world. But the world won't benefit from it unless he believes the one who says he loves the world says to as many as receive them, to many of that world that receives Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking about, John 1:12. To them he gave the power to come to God, sons of God. So he loved the world that everybody's open to the door. But if a person walks by the door and said no, he's not going to give them the power to become children of God. That makes sense? Stand to your feet, please. Our Father, Lord, this is depth study. Maybe more so it should have been on Sunday night than Sunday morning. But Lord, we need to understand what happened to us when we got saved. If I can understand that, I'll see God's love more than just the fact that He loved me enough to save me. He loved me enough to use me and give me the maximum of my abilities in this life if I'll give myself to Him. Just yield to Him. Submit to Him. And Lord, sometimes that's not easy to do, yet it's the best thing to do in the end results. It doesn't mean that everybody's got to be a preacher or a pastor. But it does mean anyone in here who names the Christ, Lord, has the ability to understand enough in the Scriptures to give those Scriptures to someone if they would sit and listen. We're not forcing only one person. I don't want to hear it. Fine, we'll go on. But we'd be wasting our time to try to witness someone who don't want to hear it. But we do want to be there for those who will listen. God, help someone to see the truth of this. Holy Spirit, really times, a lot of times, young people up there in the other churches get saved because that's all they know. And Lord, thank God for that. I'm glad you don't have to understand it all to be saved. It's a free gift. Lord, I thank you for that. But I do know this, if I'm going to be part of the ministry of reconciliation, to witness that God was in Christ, redeeming this world to Himself, I've got to know a little bit more to be able to convince someone if they'll listen. I don't mean just my testimony, because that can get dry pretty quick, but I mean the Word of God, the Word read in their hearing. You said, my word will not turn into me void. It accomplished where I've sent it. We claim that promise today. In Jesus' name, amen.